Hey, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Hi, this is Connie. Connie Kendall, I mean. And I'd like you to join us for a time of wonder and excitement and all kinds of other fun stuff. Are you ready? Well, let's go for another Adventure in Odyssey.
You're pleading not guilty by reason of temptation.
He's a master of disguise, that one.
Disguises?
And that's the truth. He's reciting scripture.
We are rolling the wrong clip.
What a pig, Joey!
Everybody, and welcome to Kids Radio. Today's topic is the devil. Now, when I say the devil, I'm not talking about some guy in a red suit with a pitchfork. I'm talking about Satan, God's enemy. There are many ways that the devil deceives us, and today we're going to talk about three of them. The first is in a presentation we call Guilt Trip Jeopardy.
This is Guilt Trip Jeopardy. Now entering the studio are our three contestants. First, a longtime demon whose hobbies include mind manipulation and doing bad things, Lude Grimelord.
Yeah, so's your mom. Yeah.
Next, a full-time demon who lies repeatedly and also enjoys doing bad things, Nasty Wormbucket.
And that's the truth.
And our third contestant is a sixth grader at Roosevelt Middle School. Please welcome Joey Niceworthy. And here's the host of Guilt Trip Jeopardy, Filthy Pete Sludgeman.
Thanks, Stinky, and welcome to Guilt Trip Jeopardy. I'm Filthy Pete, and we've got some fine-looking contestants here in the studio today. Let's look at today's category, shall we? They are Joey's lies, Joey's selfishness, gluttony, and Joey. Bad things Joey did in the fourth grade.
What?
Okay, let's get started.
Wait a minute. Those are the categories?
That's right. Nasty Wormbucket, you've got control of the board.
Okay, Pete. I'll take bad things Joey did in the fourth grade for 100.
Alrighty, and the answer is the only way Joey ever passed a social studies test. Yes, Lude?
What is peeking at Martha Motley's paper during the test?
That's correct!
How did you know about that?
Okay, I'll take Joey's selfishness for 100!
Alrighty, the answer is Christmas Eve 1995, instead of giving money to the Salvation Army, Joey bought this.
Whoa, where's that buzzer?
Yes, Nasty.
What is a package of gummy frogs?
Wait a minute.
Correct.
I gave him money later on.
Okay, I'll take Joey's lies for 100.
What kind of game show is this?
Okie dokie, here's the answer. The Whopper she told her mother about being late for dinner last week.
Yeah, it was a big one.
Lude?
What is, I stopped to save a puppy that was trapped in a burning building.
That's correct. Oh,
that was a pretty good one, Joey.
Yes, it was.
Hold it. I told her the truth later and she forgave me.
Okay, I'm gonna go for Gluttony and Joey for 200.
Oh, this ought to be a good one. All right, here's the answer. The number of donut holes Joey ate at her sister's 8th birthday party. Lude?
What is... I'm sorry. What is 47?
Yes, that's correct. What a pig, Joey. Or should I say Sue?
I told her I was sorry. I threw up all night and I got my punishment. punishment already.
Lude, you've got control of the board.
Yeah, well, of course. Okay, I'll take Joey and the shed behind Becky Simpson's house for 400.
Oh, and it's the audio daily double.
Oh, I wanted that.
Lude, listen to this audio clue from the shed behind Becky Simpson's house.
Look what I got from my cousin Sally.
The question to you, Lude, what did Joey get from her cousin Sally, and what did she and her friends do with it?
Two-parter, I love that. Okay, what is a pack of cigarettes, and they smoked them in the shed?
That is correct!
Wow, Joey, that is really bad.
Oh, I know. You know, Joey, on your card you say you're a Christian.
Yeah, a smoking Christian.
Ooh, I'm sure God wasn't too pleased with that little incident, huh?
My folks talked to me about it, and they said God forgave me.
Oh, yeah, right, I'm sure he did.
Hey, Lou, this kid's worse than us.
Ooh, Joey, you hear that? You're worse than demons. And you know, God doesn't like them.
Yeah.
What does that say about what he thinks of you?
I don't know.
You've lied, you've cheated, you smoke cigarettes.
I don't smoke.
Do you really think God could love you after all of that?
No way!
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, and that sound means we're done with the first round.
How many rounds are there?
23.
23?
That's right.
23.
Guilt Trip Jeopardy will be right back with round two after these messages. Don't go away.
Hey, Joey, got a cigarette?
That was the first of our three ways Satan works. He makes us feel guilty for our sins, and then tells us there's no way God could love us because of all the sins we commit. But God tells us there's nothing we can ever do to separate us from His love. And He also promises that if we confess our sins, He will forgive us. He'll never hold us responsible for those sins again. We'll be back with a special edition of 2200 right after these messages.
Good evening. I'm Bobby Walker.
And I'm Huge Gowns, and this is 2200. Thanks for joining us on this historic occasion. For the very first time, my co-host Bobby Walker goes into the field to do some hard-hitting investigative journalism. And what a time to make a debut. Tonight, a shocking story.
That's right, Huge. This week, a Virginia court heard a case that could change the way we look at guilt and innocence. I went to Virginia to ask hard-hitting questions, investigative questions, to get to the bottom of this potentially momentous courtroom drama, and to use my superior interview skills to make someone cry. On March 31st, Jerry Harry Larry Gary Perry of Anagreve, Virginia, broke into a series of homes during the night and stole $100,000 worth of jewelry, video equipment, and cash. The police arrested him 3 days later. Last week, he went to court. His plea was unprecedented and shocking.
State your name.
Jerry Harry Larry Gary Perry, Your Honor.
You're kidding.
No, sir.
Okay, Mr. Perry, you are charged with multiple counts of breaking and entering, as well as theft. How do you plead?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
Not guilty?
Yes, sir. Because, Your Honor, I have a special circumstance.
And that is?
Temptation.
Temptation? You're pleading not guilty by reason of temptation?
That's right, Your Honor. You see, the devil made me do it.
The devil made him do it. Now, is this a legitimate plea? Can someone escape responsibility for his actions by blaming the devil for his crime? Wearing a striking new pastel blue jacket and skirt combination, I asked Defendant Perry that very question. Mr. Perry.
Please, you can call me, you know, Jerry, Harry, Larry, Gary.
Mr. Perry, why did you do it?
Well, you see, the devil told me I should.
Now, are you saying you couldn't resist the devil?
Well, at first I said no, but he kept talking. talking to me, you know, tempting me. And before I knew it, I was in somebody's house at midnight stuffing a VCR in my pants. Yeah, I know it was midnight because the clock on the VCR kept blinking, you know, 12, 12, 12. I tell you, it was totally the devil's fault. He put those ideas in my head, and the devil made me do it.
But as with all stories, there are two sides to this one. We tried to get in touch with the devil, but he was unavailable for comment. However, the devil's lawyer, Bud, did agree to speak with us.
Yeah, he's out of town.
Now, how do you answer these accusations, Bud?
Oh, they're ridiculous. Completely absurd. My client has never done anything like this.
Never?
Never, ever, ever.
Never, ever, ever.
That's what I said, exactly. Never, whatever you said, I said.
Needless to say, we were not convinced. We decided to investigate this unequivocal statement, and what we found was shocking. Here in the Garden of Eden, our 2,200 investigators discovered two people who claimed to have been deceived by the devil many years ago. Adam, tell us what happened.
Well, I really didn't have anything to do with it. You see, my wife gave me this piece of fruit, and I ate it.
Adam?
I mean, where's the crime in that?
Well, I didn't do anything either. It was the serpent's idea.
So the serpent forcibly made you eat the fruit?
Yes, exactly.
I know this is difficult for you, Eve, but can you tell us how the serpent made you eat the fruit?
Well, by suggesting it.
Suggesting it? You mean he said, why don't you eat the fruit, Eve, and you just ate it?
Well, he said other things too, but yeah, more or less.
I see. And you believe the serpent was the devil?
Oh, yes. He's a master of disguise, that one.
Disguises? Of course. We took this information back to lawyer Bud.
Disguises? You honestly believe that my client dressed up like a snake? Oh, please. Next, you'll be telling me he wears a red suit with hooves and a tail and a pitchfork. Come
on. But what of Eve's assertion that the devil suggested she eat the forbidden fruit?
Bobby, Boobala, Bobby, baby, you cannot believe everything you hear. I suppose if these Adam and Eve characters claim to be the first man and woman, you would believe that too, huh?
Well, we have other testimonies. King Saul, Ahab and Jezebel, and even God's own son Jesus, all claiming that the devil told them to do bad things.
It's all hearsay. I am sorry. He didn't do it.
They say he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He did it.
Did.
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 Didn't.
I say didn't. Needless to say, this went nowhere fast. So we decided to take our 2,200 investigation undercover in an attempt to catch the devil red-handed tempting innocent victims. We set up a hidden microphone in this sidewalk hot dog stand. And then I, dressed as the hot dog vendor, set the trap.
I'd like a foot long with ketchup and relish, please.
1 foot long, coming wide up. Yes, sirree. There you are, sir.
This isn't a foot long. It's small.
Oh, you mean literally a foot long, huh? Well, wow, do they really make those? I mean, that's one big hot dog.
I know. That's why I want it. I'm really hungry.
Ah, yeah, well, you know, maybe I should go get some. You see, I'll just leave my cart here all alone for a few minutes, and then I'll get some of those hot dogs that are a foot long, and I'll be right back.
I had cleverly set the trap. Temptation was now staring in the face of our unwitting hot dog customer, and if history were an example, the devil would be just around the corner. And sure enough, seconds after I left the stand, the big man himself, Satan, began whispering in our victim's ear.
Hey, Joe, those are some good-looking hot dogs, huh?
They sure are.
You know, it was pretty unprofessional of that hot dog lady to just leave you like that.
Yes, it was.
Why don't you just take one?
Take one?
Sure. She'll never know. Besides, it'll serve her right.
Well, okay.
Take a nice big bite.
Do you see her?
No.
All right. Ouch! My tooth! Oh, there's something hard in here.
As you distinctly heard before our customer ate the hidden microphone, the devil did tempt this unwitting victim to steal, corroborating Jerry-Harry-Larry-Gary-Perry's claims. Now, I immediately wondered if this shocking piece of evidence could be used to finally give the devil his due. With a mountain of our 2,200 evidence in his corner, Jerry-Harry-Larry-Gary-Perry went back into the courtroom, hoping that his plea of not guilty by reason of temptation would hold up. And it looked promising for Mr. Perry until the prosecution brought in a surprise witness.
Your Honor, I would like to call Melissa Markinson to the stand, please.
Ms. Markinson, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Ms. Markinson, would you please tell the court what happened to you on January the 14th?
Yes. Around 9 o'clock a.m. on that day, I was at my friend Carrie's house, and we were talking, and she started gossiping about our friend Patty. Well, I had just heard something really juicy about Patty, too, but I didn't know if it was true. It was then that I heard a voice in my head tell me to go ahead and spread the gossip.
You heard a voice? Melissa, could you tell us who you believe that voice belonged to?
Yes. It was the devil.
Tell us what happened next.
Well, I knew that it would be wrong to repeat the gossip, so I decided not to.
So then you, unlike Mr. Perry here, have the ability to resist the devil.
Well, actually, I believe we all have the ability to resist him. It says so in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13.
Thank you, Melissa. There will be no further questions.
You're welcome.
Our 2200 investigation discovered that 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a Bible verse that says, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. A few hours later, the jury filed back into the room.
Foreman, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
And what say you?
Your Honor, we find the defendant guilty of all counts of robbery and breaking and entering.
And there you have it, Huge. The jury decided Jerry-Harry-Larry-Gary-Perry, not the devil, was responsible for his own actions, and that Mr. Perry could have resisted the devil's temptations had he chosen to.
Fascinating, Bobby. And that wraps up our story for tonight. Join us again next time for another edition of 2200.
This is another way that Satan deceives us. He tempts us to justify our sins by making them sound like they aren't really sins at all. He tells us it's not our fault. It's not our responsibility. But when we're faced with temptations, it is our responsibility to fight them off. And you'll hear more about how you can do that in our next segment.
It's the 2500th Annual Slimy Awards, the awards that honor true excellence in the demon industry. And now, to present our next award, please give a warm hand to a mean chick and a bad dude. Jezebel Mean Chick and Judas Bad Dude.
So, Judith, I heard the crime rate was up 4% in your district last month.
Yes, that's right, Jezebel, and I was very excited.
Why don't we announce the nominees for Best Temptation Sequence, shall we?
Good idea. At times, a demon can work hundreds of hours on one person, getting him or her ready for a big temptation sequence. Then, if there is even one misstep of timing, all that energy could have been used for nothing.
And because this is our 2500th anniversary show, this year we're giving a special Lifetime Achievement Award, recognizing a significant body of work in the temptation arena.
Here we go. And the nominees are Adolf Jerkball for his temptation of Simon Peter.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Didn't I see you with Jesus earlier?
Don't tell her, Peter. She might be one of those people who want to kill Jesus. Maybe
think she'll want to kill you too? Tell her you don't know him.
Well, you see, I...
What's the harm? You don't know this woman. Who cares if you tell her a little white lie? It's not like anybody would blame you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any Jesus.
Desiree Dirtbag, for her temptation of Ananias and Sapphira.
Wow, look at all the money we made off our land.
Oh, I can't wait to see the apostles' faces when we give it to them.
Hey, Ananias, there's enough money for you and the apostles. Why don't you give some of the money away, but keep the rest?
You know, Sapphira, I was thinking, this money sure would be nice to have for a down payment on a new donkey.
Oh, you're right. The one we've got now already has 1,000 miles on it, and it's got a busted taillight to boot.
Right, but I'm not sure we should keep the money for ourselves.
Everybody's giving away all they have to the apostles. They have plenty, you know. No one will blame you for keeping some for yourself.
Well, on second thought, let's give them some of the money, but we'll just say it's all the money.
Okay, good idea.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
So beautiful. Mm. That scene always gets me, too.
Okay, I'm all right. And our final nominee, Satan, for his temptation of Jesus.
If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.
It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
But he's reciting scripture.
The wait, there's been a mistake. We are rolling the wrong clip.
If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down off the temple and let the angels catch you.
Again, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.
Oh my. Something must be wrong. Satan lost this battle!
Stop the tank!
Look at all the mountains and kingdoms of the world. All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me.
Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
No!
The Slimy Awards are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. Please stand by.
Just like Jesus showed us in Matthew chapter 4, the way you defeat Satan is by knowing the Bible and shooting down the devil's suggestions with Scripture. The Bible should be our manual for the way we act toward God and toward others. When we know God's Word, we have all the weapons we need to resist the devil and his temptations. And the Bible is also a good thing to remember when we do happen to fall into temptation. For Kids Radio, this is Connie Kendall saying so long.
We heard a lot of scripture in today's program, and for a very good reason. It's one of the best ways to defeat Satan, just like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. You see, Jesus knew that Satan can't stand up to God's word, just like the demons at the Slimies couldn't. And that's also why it's so important for us to memorize as much scripture as we possibly can. Satan is always on the prowl, ready to attack us. But with the word of God at our command, when Satan attacks, we're able to stand up and say, "Be gone," just like Jesus did. And that's today's program. Adventures and Odysseys, a presentation of Focus on the Family. The Devil Made Me Do It was written by Marshall Younger and Phil Lawler and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Jonathan Crow. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odysseys.